Today's daf is Ksubas daf Mem Aleph. We are holding on the top of daf Mem Aleph Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. It's the last daf of the third parak of Maseches Ksubos. This daf is all about Knas. We've been discussing Knasos through much of the parak, but now it all comes together with a major discussion of the difference the Mishnah has of the difference between Mammon and Knas. And the primary difference, of course, is that if one is Moda b'Knas, they are Patur, whereas if one is Moda b'Mammon, they are Chayiv. So the Mishnah is going to give several examples of Knasos, where if one is Moda in the Knas, he's Patur, but if it were Mammon, he would have been Chayiv. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a man is Ne'eman to say that he's been Ma'anes, a woman, and therefore owes her the pagam payment, or maybe the people could say, how can he be trusted to say that he was ma'anis or mafata, a woman? That's a pagam in the whole family. He's going to be believed to be pogam in this family if we don't have edim. So Gemara is going to discuss that, and then the majority of the daf is going to discuss the issue whether palganiska is mamono or kanasa. The fact that when a shar tam does damage, a shar that is not damaged already three times, that is not gored three times, does damage, the fact that it only pays chatzi nezek, is that a mamon payment or is that a knas payment? And the Gemara is going to bring four rayos from different mishnayos whether palganiska is mamono or knasa, and then in the middle of Amud Beis the Gemara is going to come to a conclusion whether palganiska is mamona or knasa, and then at the very end the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit at the very end of the parak. I think we're just going to get to the end of the parak today, believe that they're not begin the next parak, but at the very end of the parak it discusses very briefly about having dangerous things around that a person should not have. Once we talk about a shor muad, we talk about having dangerous animals, so it talks a little bit about losasim damim veisecha, that a person shouldn't have dangerous things around the house, not just shouldn't, but it's an issur dal raisa to keep dangerous things around a person's house. So let us begin in the Mishnah, top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Ha'omer pititi es bito shoploni. A guy admits that he was mefata someone else's daughter, that he was mefata a girl, mishalim boshes ubegam al piatzmo ve'in mishalim kenas. He pays boshes ubegam based on his own admission, because those are considered mamon payments, but he does not pay the kenas al piatzmo, since Moda b'kenas is pater, and he's the only way we know that he was mefata this girl is from his own admission. Now the Chacham Darshin Babakama Dafayin Hey, from the fact that it says by knas of a kefel, by a ganav, it says Asher Yashiyun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim L'Re'ehu, that a person is chayiv knas only if Bezin is mechayivim. It's only Asher Yashiyun Elohim, it's only if the Dayanim determine that he's guilty, then Yishalim Shnayim L'Re'ehu, then he pays kefel when he steals. But if he's Moda in it, then he's pater. That's the source of the din, that moda b'knas is pater. But if a guy is moda, let's say he's moda b'knas, and then edim come and say, yeah, we saw that person stole, so he should be chayiv the kefel. So that's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, he's pater. According to Shmuel, he's chayiv. Now within the shita of Rav that he's pater, if he's moda b'knas and achar kach bo'u edim, and then edim come afterwards, Rav said that he's pater. Is machlokas. Further machlokas amoraim between Rav Huna and Rav Hamnuna. According to Rav Hamnuna, Rav paters dafka if through his hoda'a he was mechayiv himself b'mashahu, like he was moda that he was gonev, so therefore he is chayiv to pay the keren al pi hoda'a. So that's mamon, the basic amount that he stole. That much he does have to pay. That's not a knas. And then edim come and verify that in fact he did steal. So that's when he's pater from the kefel. But if he had said lo ganavti, and then edim came and said that he stole, and then he went and he said tavachti o macharti, by the way, I slaughtered it and I sold it. Now that you know that I stole, I slaughtered it and I sold it, or I sold it. And then edim came and said that he was tavach umachar. So then even Rav would be moda that he's going to be chayiv to pay the dalad vehei, because his own hoda'a wasn't mechayiv him anything. We already had edim that he was gonev by the time that he was moda that he was tavach umachar. So his own Oda wasn't mechayiv anything, and therefore he's going, even Rav would be moda that he's chayiv, because that's the rule according to Rav, according to Rav Hamnuna. Rav Huna says, no, Rav holds pater in any case of moda b'knas v'achar kach bo edim. Doesn't matter whether his Oda was mechayiv himself anything or not. That's machlokas in the sugya in Baba Kama. Now from our Mishnah, it sounds boshes is not a knas payment, boshes is a mamon payment. It's very clear that way. Because the Mishnah says if a guy is moda that he's mefata a girl, he does pay the boshes. So the Rishonim ask that in Maseches Baba Kama, Rav Nachman asks Rav Chista, that Rav Nachman suggested that we should collect Boshas payment in Bavel, even though we're not Govek Knas in Bavel. And he said, Chista Knasa Kamagvis Bavel. So he said, how could you do this? Aren't you, you're being Govek Knas in Bavel? So it sounds like from that Gemara, in Bava Kama Dov Chav Zayin, that Boshas is a Knas payment. That when Rav Chista wanted to be Govek Knas in Bavel, he was challenged. How could you be Govek? I mean, when Rav Chista wanted to be Govek Boshas in Bavel, he was challenged. How could you be Govek Knas in Bavel? It's directly against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah assumes that Boshas is Mammon, that it's not Knas. So the Ritva raises this question and points out that Boshas is definitely Mammon. It's not considered paying. The Mishnah over here at the end of the Mishnah is going to tell us the Klal, that whenever the payment doesn't correspond to the damage done, then it's considered a Knas. But if it does correspond, that's considered a Mammon. Boshas certainly corresponds. We just discussed yesterday how we evaluate the Boshas. But there's an evaluation, and that evaluation yields the amount of money that you pay for Boshas. So that is a classic case of Mammon. It's Hakolafia Mivayeshva Mispayesh. The fact that in Baba Kama we call it a Knas, that's just in that we don't collect it in Bavel. That we're not Govah Dine Knas in Bavel, because something that's it's not just Dine Knasos, it's something that the reason we're not Govah Knas in Bavel is because it's something that's not Shchiach, and therefore it's not going to be a major loss to the community and to people's financial well-being if we fail to connect it to collect it in Bavel. So Boshas would fit that category, even though technically it's not really strictly a Knas. That's how the Ritva understands. Further in the Mishnah, Ha'omer Gad Nafti, a second case in the Mishnah, if a guy says, I stole, Mishalim es HaKeren al pi atzmo, he does have to pay the Keren based on his own admission, the basic amount that he said that he stole, but Vein Mishalim Tashlumi Kefal Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha. But he does not have to pay the 4 or 5 times the value if he slaughtered it or sold it. That he doesn't have to pay al pi atzmo, because that is a Knas payment, that is not a Mammon payment. And you only chayv in Mammon when you're moda by yourself. Now Tosos raises the question, why doesn't the Mishnah say also about a Motzi Shemra, Yotzi B'Shein V'Ayin? I mean, the Mishnah gives a few examples over here, it's going to give a couple more, but it misses a lot of other examples. So why doesn't the Mishnah to list every single, there are lots of Knasos, the Mishnah doesn't just mention one Knas and say, and the same is true by other Knasos, it gives a whole list, but it doesn't give the whole list, it gives a partial list. So why doesn't it mention all of the other Knasos that we could have mentioned? So Tosos says that, at the end of the Mishnah, it says Zeh HaKlal. So the Zeh HaKlal comes to include everything else. Shidim Gvet says you can't say Tana V'Shir over here. You can't say that, it mentions some and it leaves out others, because the din of Modu B'Knas Pater is learned from Asher Yashin Elohim Yishalim Shnayim, that it says by Din Gneva. So the Tana should have left out the Omer Ganafti, which is one that it says in the Torah, and say Motzi Shemra and Yotzi B'Shein Vayinah that are not Mufurish in the Torah, meaning the role of the Mishnah is to expand on what it says in the Torah. So Tana V'Shir, it's an interesting take on Tana V'Shir and how it normally works. Shidim Gretzis understands that Tana V'Shir is we're going to leave out those that are most obvious, and we'll say those that are less obvious. The fact that the Tana lists the one that it says in the Torah tells us that it's saying the most obvious one. So we wouldn't say Tana V'Shir, we'd have to have some other teretz. Okay, so Vayter in the Mishnah, a third example. Hamis Shori Es Ploni, a guy says, my Shor killed a guy. O Shorus Shal Ploni, or my shor killed someone else's shor. Hareza mishalim al piatzmo. He could pay for the value of that based on his own admission. What happens if a person's shor kills somebody? So the halach is he pays kofar. So kofar is considered, apparently, according to the Mishnah, kofar is considered a mammon payment. It's not considered a knas payment. There is a discussion in Maseches Makos and Maseches Baba Kama. Kufra mamona or kufra kapara? Is kufra considered a mammon payment or is it considered a kapara payment? But doesn't seem to be a discussion whether kufra mamona or kufra knasa. So that's a challenging thing that we shouldn't try to figure out. What does that mean exactly? Where does kapara fit? Is kapara a form of mammon? It would seem that way because our Mishnah seems to assume that kofar is a mammon payment. So even if you hold kufra kapara, it's about what's the nafkamina of the kufra is kapara. So one possibility the Gemara suggests, although it's not so pashut, the Gemara suggests at least as a havamina that whose value do you pay? Do you pay the value of the nizik or the demei mazik, the value of the mazik? If kufra is mamona, so I'm trying to pay for the loss that I caused. So you pay the value of the nizik, the value of he who got damaged. But if it's kapara, it's just achieving kapara for myself, that I didn't do a good job watching my ox, so then I would pay the value of the mazik. chazik of the one who at least as a hava, I mean at least as a possibility. It's hard to understand if you hold kufar kafar and therefore you're paying demei mazik, that would be called mamon. That's called a mamon payment and not a knas payment. So this is a challenging thing. Why would we change the terminology? If it's really about knas and mamon, why are we calling it all of a sudden mamon and kapara? So that's a difficult sugya to try to figure out what exactly the status of kofar is. But our Mishnah seems to take for a davar pashut that kofar is definitely a din mamon. Hamish Shori, next case, Hamish Shori Avdo Shalploni. If a guy says, my ox killed another man's Eved, so the halach is the Torah says that you pay Shloshim Sela, that you have to pay 30 Sela for killing it, for your ox killing an Eved. Ein Mishalim Al Piatzmo. Since that's a set amount, like we saw in yesterday's daf, it doesn't make a difference how valuable the Eved is. Whether the Eved is someone who's a jeweler who works with precious gems and therefore has a very valuable skill that makes him an extremely valuable Eved, or whether he just sews things, which is something that pretty much anyone could be taught to do, and therefore makes him not such a valuable Eved. Either way, with the loss of that Eved, is always going to cost the same amount of money. So that's a raya, that it's a knas, and that it's not mamon, and therefore moda b'knas pata, you don't have to pay if you were moda to it. Zaklal, so the rule is straightforward. Kala mishalim yesal mashihizik, eina mishalim el piatzmo. Anytime a person is paying for more than he damaged, for more than the actual value of the damage, he's not mishalim piatzmo. The Gemara is going to discuss, and what if he's paying less than the value of that which he damaged? Meaning, you kill the shark kills the Eved, and the Eved is worth 100 sela, and you're only paying 30 sela. That's also a kenas. So the Gemara is going to point out that the lashon is not necessarily the most precise over here. It means that if it doesn't correspond at all, if the payment doesn't correspond to the value of that which was caused, that's what we would call a kenas payment. So, fact the Gemara, the listening of nasty. Why are we discussing kenasas over here? Because our whole parak has been about ones umefaten, more about ones though than about mefaten. So, why does the Mishnah start? And that's the segue into our Mishnah. We saw Homer pititias bito shaploni. A guy admits to being chayev a kenas for being mefata a girl. So he's pater from the kenas. He's chayev in the boshes to become. Why would we give the example of mefata? We've been discussing onus for most of the parak. Onus is the more powerful knas because that's the knas that you pay no matter what. By mefata, you only pay the knas if you don't want to marry her. Onus, you pay the knas no matter what. So why don't we start with onus? Why are we starting with mefata? So it says, "Lomi baya ka'amar," because it's obvious. Lomi baya anasti delo kapagimla demishalim bosh the begam al piatzmo. Meaning, it would be obvious to us that if he's saying anasti, where he wasn't pogame her that much. Not that he wasn't poking her in his act, but in his admission that he was ma'anes her, it doesn't ruin her reputation that badly, because Nabucho, what was she supposed to do? It doesn't say anything bad about her when he says that he was ma'anes her. It says something bad about him. So in that case, he pays boches of begam al piatzmo. For sure, we believe him, and therefore he has to pay the boches of begam. Aval pititi tikapagimla. But if he says he seduced her, which means that she was a willing participant with him, well, that's something that's embarrassing to her, and that's embarrassing to her entire family. So I might think, ema lo mishalim al piatzmo, that he shouldn't have to pay based on his own admission, because we shouldn't believe him. We shouldn't believe him that he's mefata the girl. He's going to go ruin her reputation and say that he slept with this girl and that she was okay with it. So kamash milan. That's why the Mishnah wants to tell me the greater chiddush. The knas is the same din by onas and mefata. Moda b'knas is pater. That's no greater chiddush whether you say it in terms of onas or whether you say it in terms of mefata. But the fact that he does pay the boshes upagam when he's moda, that's a much greater chiddush by mefata than it is by onas, and that's why the Mishnah wants to talk in terms of mefata. Masnisin deloki aitana. So says the Gemara, our Mishnah is against the shita of the following Tana. Detanya, Rabbi Shimon Yudom, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, af boshes begam einu mishalim al piatzmo. Rabbi Shimon Yudom says the name of Rabbi Shimon, that boshes begam, a person does not pay al piatzmo. He does not pay based on his own admission. Meaning, why wouldn't he pay boshes begam based on his own admission? Simply because, lo kol imenu shivkom bito shaploni. We're not going to believe him to say that this girl was willing to participate with him in such a terrible act. We're not going to believe him to ruin the reputation of the girl and her entire family. So even though that's going to end up costing the girl some money, because he would have to pay the boshes of begam if we do believe him, but we're not going to believe him to ruin their entire reputation. So Tosov here asks that over here Rabbi Shimon says, lo kol imenu shivkom bito shaploni. Right? Rabbi Shimon is the one that says he's not going to be believed to ruin their reputation. And tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah, Masechta Shavuos, and daf Lamed Vav Aleph and Beis about a korban shvua, where it sounds over there that even according to Rabbi Shimon, if a father's toveya boshes ubegam payment, say the father says you owe me boshes ubegam for what you did to my daughter, and the guy is denies that he owes it, and then he swears that he doesn't owe it, and then he's moda later on that really he did owe it, so he's chayiv a korban shvua for swearing falsely about money that he really owed. So asks Tosos over here, asks Tosos in Dibra Maskel Rabbi Shimon. He says, if what our Gemara seems to be saying is correct, that he's not able to be believed that he was poking her, he's not able to be believed to ruin her reputation. So then he wasn't really kofer mamon when he denied that he owed the money, because he's not chayiv moshes begam al piatzmo. So he always could have admitted it and then been putter anyway. So that's not really kfiras mamon. So his whole shavua wasn't a shavua on kfiras mamon. He wouldn't have necessarily had to pay the money anyway. He could have just puttered himself by being moda. So he should have been putter from a carbon shvua in that case. So the Tosfos mitarets over there, the case was the father was tovea first. So you can't say that lav kol imenu shiv kom bitol shaploni, that what gives this guy the right to ruin this girl's reputation? He's not the one ruining that girl's reputation. It's the father obviously ruining his daughter's reputation by saying that you did this to my daughter. So the father's the one that's bringing it up. So whereas over here, this guy is just coming to Beis Din and admitting it without a father ever saying anything. So it's a totally different story. What if the guy comes and admits that he was mefata the girl, but we say, no, you're not believed, we're not going to ruin the reputation, and therefore she doesn't get her boshes begam payment, and then she says, wait, it's true, I don't mind, give me the money, I'll take the boshes begam payment. So then do we pay the boshes begam? So maybe she's happy to admit it, but maybe her father's not so happy to admit it. It's going to ruin his whole family's reputation that his little girl is running around doing such things. What if the father says, it's fine, just give me the money. I'm totally mochel my daughter's reputation. Maybe the other b'nei mishpacha aren't so happy about their reputation being ruined. The ra'ah raises the question: who cares what the other b'nei mishpacha think? It's not their money. Meaning that a second cousin will come and will say, no, I don't like that this reputation is going around in my family, so they can't take the money, they can't collect the money. It's not your money to decide about. How did they get to decide about the money? So the Ra'ah raises that question, but he says that certainly it's not that he's costing them the money, because if the guy wants to pay the money and they want to take the money, they can still take the money. It's just a question whether Beis Din is going to be able to force him to give the money. The guy admits that he wants to pay the money, so good. So let him pay the money. There's nothing wrong with him giving the money. A little bit of a shvera teretz. It's difficult to understand. Meaning anyone could always give money to anybody, but that's not necessarily called boshes begam. Maybe it's some sort of chiv vatzis yidei shemayim, or some sort of kiyum yidei shemayim by doing that. Okay, so let's say nichlu b'nei mishpacha mai. So says Gemara, what if the b'nei mishpacha, every family member here, says that we're perfectly fine with it? Yef shadalak achad b'medin. Now there must be some family member somewhere that is gonna, you know, lives in a different country, and they'll say, oh, you're related to so and so, we know that, and that's gonna be an uncomfortable situation, and therefore someone's not going to be happy about it. Homer Ganafti Mishali Mesa Karen. If a guy admits that he stole, so he does pay the Karen, but he based on his own admission, but he doesn't pay the Kefel or the Dalet Vehei. Itmar Palganiska. Now this is the rest of the daf, discusses this pretty much. Palganiska, the fact that you pay Chatzi Nezek when your animal and your short tam does damage. Rav Papa Amar Palganiska Mamona, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Amar Palganiska Kenasa. Machlokas, whether that is a din of Mamon or whether that is a din of Knas. Rav Papa Amar Palganiska, and the obvious nafkamina would be if you're Moda to Chatzi Nezek. Rav Papa Amar Palganiska Mamona. Rav Papa holds Palganiska's Mamona because Kasavar he holds Stam Shvarim Lav Becheska Shimor Kaimi. The average Shor is not considered to be guarded, and ubedinu de mishalim kulei, and therefore it's your responsibility to guard it because it's not going to self-guard. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous animal. It's your responsibility to guard it, and failure to do so properly should be mechayiv you the whole payment. And the Torah just has a little extra rachmanus because, you know, people like their pets and they always think the best of their pets. Oh no, my little puppy wouldn't do anything, he wouldn't hurt anybody. And they don't realize that their animals are dangerous animals and they don't have seichel and that they're going to damage somebody. So the Torah has a little rachmanus on the person that he had that mentality and that he'll only have to pay chatzi nezek, even though really he should have paid nezek shalim. That's Rav Papa's point of view. Rav Huna Rav Yeshua Amar Palgan is Kaknasa. He holds, no, the fact that you even have to pay half is only a knas. Really, you should have had to pay nothing. Kasar Stam Shar Becheska Shimur Kaimi. He holds a Stam Shar is Becheska Shimur, that it's considered to be safe and protected. Ubedinu Delo L'Shalim Klal, so therefore you shouldn't have had to pay anything. Rachmanu Dekan Se Kiecha Dinit Reil Ture. But we just want to be extra cautious, and the Torah wants to make sure that people guard their oxen well, so the Torah imposes this chatzi nezek payment. So that's the discussion the Achronim have. Is this a machlokas in Metzius? It's a machlokas in Metzius whether a shar is considered dangerous or is not considered dangerous, whether it's an unusual thing for a shar to be nogeach or not an unusual thing for a shar to be nogeach. Rav David Pavarsky in his Shiurim writes that you can't say it's a machlokas in Metzius whether stam shvarim are regilim ligach or not. They say, I heard from Rabbi Simon, always used to quote in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in the name of his father, in the name of his grandfather, I think, that whenever you have a machlokas and metzias, no such thing as machlokas and metzias and shas, you could take any machlokas and metzias and turn it into a machlokas and halacha. How would you take it, something like this? So you would always say something like, let's say we assume that it's a 20% risk of damage. So the machlokas is 20% considered that it's dangerous or not? Is that considered enough of a percentage that it's a machlokas and halacha? It's not a machlokas, what, you know, it's a, if it's a 20% risk or an 80% risk, we know what the risk is. The machlokas is whether that's considered halachically to be a significant risk or not. Rav David Pavarsky has a different approach, but okay, you have to somehow take away the machlokas and metzias element. Simin hezek ma vehemis klal. There are going to be four rayas, whether palganiskas mamona or palganiskas kanasa. That's the simin for the four rayas. So raya number one, tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Hanizik va'mazik b'tashlumin. Both the Nizik and the Mazik participate in the payment because you're only paying half of the damage. So the Nizik, the one who got damaged, is eating half of the cost. So he's also Bitashlumin. Well, Bishlam Mandyar Palganiska Mamona, if you assume that really you should have owed him the whole money, so then he's eating half of the cost because you should have owed him everything. So I understand, Hainu Deshaich Nizik Bitashlumin. That's called that he's eating some of the money, that it's considered Tashlumin for the Nizik side also. El Mandyar Palganiska Knasa, but if you hold that Palganiska's Knasa, really he owes you nothing. You call that he's paying. He's lucky to be getting anything. He's even taking 50% that shouldn't even rightfully be his. And you're going to say that that's called he's eating costs. He's not eating anything. So how can, so isn't that a raya that Palganiska mamona says? No, when we say that he's eating part of the cost, that means from the time that his animal got killed until the time that he managed to sell the carcass, the value of the carcass went down. That's the cost that he eats. Meaning the mazik pays chatzi nezek of the difference between a live animal and a freshly dead animal. But any continuous deterioration of the animal after death, that the nizik is going to eat. That's what we're saying, that he's going to suffer the loss of that. Pchas nevela tanina, but we already know about pchas nevela because it says tashlumei nezek malamit shabayla metaplum benevela, that it's the nizik's responsibility to be metapel benevela. So we already know about pchas nevela. So what would be the chiddush of the Mishnah then by telling us hanizik va'mazik b'tashlumin? So the answer is Gemara chada b'tam chada b'muad. We need to be told about pchas nevela both in the context of a shartam as well as in the context of a sharmuad. Utsricha diash minin tam. If you would have told me that it's the nizik's problem when the value of the animal goes down after death by a shartam, I would say mishum da kati lo yayid. That will make the nizik's problem because the animal, why should we make it the mazik's problem? The animal wasn't a muad yet. We don't want to be too harsh on the mazik, his animal wasn't even a muad. Aval muad but I might think that if the guy has a dangerous animal and he fails to watch it, throw the book at him, let him pay everything. So let him pay the pchas nevela as well. That's what I would have thought. V'yashmin and muad, and if it only would have told me the case of muad, that the nizik is the one that has to eat the cost of the devaluation of the nevela, that's because the nizik, it's already such a boon for the nizik. He's getting the full payment for his animal, the full difference between a live animal and a dead animal. So he shouldn't be a chazer that he should to demand even more and the devaluation of the carcass, that he shouldn't be able to demand. Aval tam, but by a tam where he's only getting chatzi nezik to begin with, I might think that then he can make a demand that I should get the pchas nevela as well. Tzricha, that's why we need to be told in both cases that the nizik can't demand anything about the pchas nevela. It's the nizik's loss on the pchas nevela. So that was all raya number one. Tashema, raya number two. Ma bein tam lemuad. What is the difference between a tam and a muad? So again, from Baba Kama, sha'atam mishalim chatzi nezek migufo, umuad mishalim nezek shalem min aliyah. A tam pays chatzi nezek with a maximum of its own value. It only pays migufo. It can only pay the maximum of its own value. Whereas a muad pays nezek shalem even min aliyah, even if it far exceeds the value of the mazik itself. V'lokatani sha'atam min mishalim al piatzum mishalim. But it never says the difference between a tam and a muad is that a muad pays even if the owner admits it and a tam doesn't. If palga niska were kanasa, that should be a good difference. That should be a good nafkamina between the tam and a muad, because a tam is only palga niska and kanas, and a muad is nezek shalem is mamon. So it should be a nafkamina whether you pay al piatzmo or not. So it seems to be a raya that palga niska mamona. Says Gemara Tana v'shir enochinami. That's also a nafkamina between a tam and a muad. But we don't list every single nafkamina between a tam and a muad. We leave some out. My shir da hai shir. What else are we leaving out that we're leaving out this? So shir chatzi kofer. We're leaving out the din of chatzi kofer. That's also a difference between a tam and a muad. Meaning that a muad who kills an eved pays, who kills a person rather, pays full kofer. A tam that kills a person pays chatzi kofer, pays half of the kofer payment. So yimishum chatzi kofer lav shiuruhu. Says Gemara, now that's not a, that wouldn't be called leaving out a din, because leaving out a nafkamina between them, because hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi, damar tam mishalim chatzi kofer. Maybe we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that a tam taka does pay chatzi kofer. So that's why we leave out the din of chatzi kofer, because we're assuming that a tam does pay chatzi kofer. So it wouldn't be a nafkamina to say tam doesn't pay chatzi kofer, whereas a muad does pay kofer shalim. So tashma raya number three: hamis shorias ploni o shorosho ploni hareze mishalim al pi atzmo. That if a guy says my ox killed this person or killed this person's ox, so he pays based on his own admission. My love, betam. Aren't we talking about a tam? And we're saying that he still has to pay based on his own admission. So you see that chatzi nezek is mamon, because you're paying based on your own admission. Says Mar lo, but muad. Who said we're talking about a shor tam? It's talking about a shor muad. Aval betam mai. What would the din taka be by a tam if he admits to it? Eino mishalim al piatzmo. Then eino chinami. Maybe our Mishnah would agree. He does not pay the chatzi nezek based on his own admission if his animal was a shor tam. But if that's the case, Adetani Seifa, when the Mishnah wants to draw a contrast and show a case where the guy is not going to be Mishalim El Piatzmo, so instead of bringing a new case of Avdo Shalploni, that I admit that my ox killed this guy's Eved, Eino Mishalim El Piatzmo, that's where he doesn't pay El Piatzmo. Why doesn't it just keep within the same framework, the same basic case, and still be able to draw that contrast between when you pay al piatzmo and when you don't pay al piatzmo by saying the following? When does a person pay for admitting that his ox killed somebody or someone's shor? That's bimua. That's only if his ox is a shor muad. It could draw that contrast and say, but if I admit that my ox killed somebody or somebody's ox, I sometimes don't pay al piatzmo if my ox is a shor tam. And that would have been a better contrast to draw, because it would have kept the case more consistent. Says Gemara, kula bimuad kamari. What do you mean that keeps the case more consistent? Maybe it keeps the case more consistent to draw the contrast between who the victim is and keep the mazik the same. I mean, what are we saying? It would have been a more consistent case if we said that my ox killed Ploni or Sharoshal Ploni. So keep it that way. Keep it that it killed Ploni or Sharoshal Ploni. And the only thing you need to change is who the mazik is. Was the mazik a Sharmuad versus the mazik being a Shartam? That if it was a Sharmuad, you pay Al Piatzmo. If it's a Shartam, you don't pay Al Piatzmo. Maybe it's considered more consistent to keep the mazik the same. Keep the mazik as a Sharmuad in both cases, and just change up who the nizik is. That in the first case, the nizik is Ploni or Shorosho Ploni. That's when you're Shalom Al-Piatzmo, Mishalom Al-Piatzmo. And the second case, it's Avdo Shalploni, and that's when you're Ena Mishalom Al-Piatzmo. Neither one is more consistent than the other. Neither one would be a Niflog Venisni Bedida, more of a inherent chilik that you should make within that case. Tashima, Raya number 4. Zaklal, final Raya. The rule is, the Mishnah says at the end of our Mishnah, Kala Mishalim Yesral Meshe Hizik, Eina Mishalim Apiatzmo. That whenever the damage is greater whenever the payment is greater than the damage done, you don't pay based on your own admission. Ah, hapachos b'mashe hizik mishalim al piatzmo. So the Gemara thinks to be medayik that whenever you're paying less than the damage done, it sounds like you do pay based on your own admission. So it sounds like palganiska mamona must be mamon, because apparently palganiska you pay on your own admission. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what it means. Lo tema, you're making the wrong diuk. The diuk should not be hapachos b'mashe hizik, that if you were paying less than the damage done, he's mishalim al piatzmo. No, here's the diuk you should make. Ela ema ha kimashe hizik mishalim al piatzmo. The diuk should be that if he's paying as much as he damaged, then he pays al piatzmo. Aval pachos mai, what would be the din if he taka pays, if he's paying less than he damaged? Eino mishalim al piatzmo. Then the halacha would be it's a regular kenas, and you don't pay al piatzmo. That's all. It would be very clear you would not pay al piatzmo. Says Gemara, but if that's the case, if we can draw such a contrast between if we can make such a rule that you don't pay al piatzmo whenever you're not paying exactly what you damaged, listening, then we should have formulated the rule differently. We should have formulated the rule as Zeakal Kol She'eno Mishalim Kim Mashe Hizik Eino Mishalim Piatzmo. Whenever the payment doesn't equal the damage, you don't pay Al Piatzmo. That's called the Kenas. Why does the Mishnah formulate it in such a way that whenever you're paying more than you damaged, it's a Kenas? You could formulate it in a much more accurate way by just saying whenever your payment doesn't correspond to your damage, we call that a Kenas. The mashma pachos, the mashma yeser, and that way it would imply whether it's less or whether it's more, it's a knas. Wouldn't that have been more accurate? Says Mar Tiyufta. You're right. That would have been more accurate. So that's a major kasha. So that seems to be that we have a raya from our Mishnah that palganiska is mamona. Because if palganiska were knasa, it should have formulated that final rule differently. So it seems that the final raya is palganiska is mamona vehilchsa, and therefore the halach is palganiska Knasa. So says Gemara, what just happened? Tiyufta vihilchasa. You come up with a tiyufta that tells me palganiska is mamona, and then you say, oh, and by the way, the halacha is palganiska knasa. Yes, the Gemara says, that's exactly right. Time imayitosif, because what was the whole tiyufta? Mishum talo katani kima shehizik, because it didn't say in the Mishnah the way we would have preferred it to be formulated, that anyone who doesn't pay exactly corresponding to the damage. Lo psikolei, because it's not always true that when you're paying less than the damage, that it's necessarily a knas. Sometimes it's mamon, even if you're paying less than the damage. Not by a regular case of palganiska, but kimadika chatzi nezek tsroros. By the case of chatzi nezek tsroros, over there you're paying what tsroros, the animals that Gemara Baba Kama talks about, animals walking down the road. So normally anything that's done in its normal path as it's walking is regel. Anything that's done that's unusual is keren. But the animal's walking down the road and rocks shoot out from under its foot and go and damage somebody. So that's chatzi nezek. The halacha is you pay chatzi nezek over there. Now that, even though it doesn't correspond directly to the damage done, that's mamon. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't formulate it as whenever you pay more or less, whenever it's not exactly corresponding, it's going to be a knas, because there is that case where you're paying less and it's not a knas, it's mamon. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai that it's mamon, and that's why it doesn't mention in the Mishnah. Mishnah. Now, Chatzi Nezek Tzoros is a machlokas. It's a machlokas in Maseches Baba Kama, whether you pay Chatzi Nezek for Tzoros or not. So that's a major discussion in the Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama. In fact, that's one of the Chavos Yoyer's rayas against the Rambam in the Akdama to the Perush Mishnayos. The Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Perush Mishnayos that one might think that if you look at our Mesora and you look at our religion and you see how many machlokas there are, there's machlokas about this, that, the other thing, there's no two people that hold all the same things in Kol HaTorah Kula, and you're going to say that our tradition must be very weak. So how do I know that I have the same Torah? I was just at a Simcha recently and someone was telling me, you know, in practice, I obviously observe every halacha, but I don't really believe that the transmission, was accurate. So it's Mamshah Pikoros, right? So I wanted to tell you, you could read the Rambam thought of this kasha. You know, a lot of times people think they discovered America, that they thought of the greatest kasha in the world. That how could it be that there are problems in the Masorah? Problems I didn't want to tell him because he wasn't going to be satisfied with the Rambam's answer. But the Rambam thought of this kasha, that how could it be? We have so many breaks in our Masorah, and yet we're supposed to believe that the Torah that we have is the same Torah, and that, but everything else we couldn't get straight, so how can we get that straight? So the Rambam says, no, that's all part of Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but the our Masorah is perfect, and the raya that our Masorah is perfect is that there is one area of the Masorah where throughout all the years, even though it was purely Baal Peh, throughout all the years, we never lost, there was never a single machlokas that crept in. And that's when it comes to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And in all of Shas, we never have a machlokas about Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. That shows the perfection of our Masorah. So the Chavis Yair has a long tshuva where he says, really? Never a machlokas about Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? What about here, 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 here? And he gives a list of like 35 places where you have machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Netziv in the Akdama to the Mekshela tries to address that and tries to show that most of the Chavis Yair's kashas are in a kash because it's not really about Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So this is one of them, that Chatzi Nezek Tzoros Hilchsa Gemirila. Hilchsa Gemirila Pashtus means Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Most of the times in Shas where it says Hilchsa Gemirila, Rashi quickly comments Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Netziv Tain is not, it doesn't really mean Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Hilchsa Gemirila doesn't necessarily mean Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Hilchsa Gemirila means that we have an ancient tradition that we can't necessarily trace back to exactly where it comes from, but it's not necessarily Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It could have been a drasha, and we just lost exactly what the drasha is, but we know that this has been the Halacha for many generations. It could just go back to the early Tanaim, and we just don't know exactly where it comes from. The Chatzi Nezek Tzoros is one of the Chavis Yair's kashas on the Rambam. So anyway, so it says the Gemara further now. Now that we say that we established that Palga Niska is Knasa, the Chatzi Nezek is Knas, let's say you have a dog that eats a sheep, something unusual, let's say significant damage, or you have a cat that eats a large chicken, so that's considered an unusual damage, so you pay Chatzi Nezek, it's like Keren, it's an unusual damage, even though normally when an animal eats something, we would call that shame. We wouldn't call that Karen because that's just, it's delicious, so the animal wants to eat it. But if it's an unusual thing that it's going to pick on an animal that's bigger than it and kill it, so that's a very unusual type of damage, and therefore it's a Palganiska case, it's like a short time, and we cannot collect it in Bavel. Aval Zutri, but if it eats a smaller animal, Orchehu, that's normal, Umagvina, and therefore we would collect the payment. The Tafas, if the Nizik collects the payment, he grabs it without going to a Bezin, because Bezin is not going to make the guy pay it anyway, then Mafkinan Mine, we're going to take it away, Lo Mafkinan Mine rather, we're not going to take it away from the Nizik. The Amar Ikvu Lizimna La Eretz Yisrael, and if the Nizik says, since we are not done Dine Knossos in Bavel, I want you to come with me to a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, and whenever at your convenience, let me know next time you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I'll meet you there, and I want to have a Din Torah about this, Mekavinanle, then we will establish him a time that the other guy's got to be in Eretz Yisrael to deal with this case. Vilo Azil, if the other fellow doesn't show up to Eretz Yisrael, all the way to Eretz Yisrael, if he doesn't show up to Eretz Yisrael, we put him in a Shamta, we put him in a Cherim, for failure to appear to Beis Din. Either way, we put him in a shamta because we could tell him you got to get rid of your mazik. Obviously, you have an extraordinarily dangerous animal, so you got to get rid of it. Like Rabbi Nassim taught, the Tanya Rabbi Nassim Omer, how do we know that a person is not supposed to raise an evil dog in his house. He shouldn't have a ladder that could easily break. That's very iffy in his house. You can't have dangerous things around your house. This is a discussion in the Rishonim. What does kelev ra mean? Is kelev ra a description of all dogs? Or is kelev ra a specific type of dog that is bad, but other dogs are not considered to be a kelev ra? But just even before that, just there's the idea of knas bizman hazeh. The Yerushalmi raises the issue whether one, even though we're not gove knas in Bavel, would one be chayiv to pay knas to be yotzei yidei shemayim? You know, we had this concept by Kamle b'drabimine. Just gave Sharon and Susan about the concept of being yotzei yidei shemayim. That sometimes Bezin can't be mechayiv you to pay, but if you want to be good by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you would pay anyway to be yotzei yidei shemayim. Would we say the same thing with dine knasos in Bavel, that it's still kedai to pay to be yotzei yidei shemayim? Also, when it comes to him, tafas lo mafkinan minei, we say that if the guy grabs the knas, we don't take it away from him. So Tosus writes in Divra Maskel V Tafas, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, says the dafke I tafas as a mazik atzmo, aval dover acher lo. A very great chiddush, Rabbeinu Tam says. What does it mean that he could be toface, that he could grab the knas payment? It doesn't mean he could take your money. It means if your dog ate his sheep, he could take your dog. But that's it. He can't take anything other than the dog. Why not? Why can't he take? If the knas payment is $100, let him take $100 from your wallet. Why is he allowed to? Why is it only that he's allowed to take your dog? Dilin mazik atzmo kilucham sheyachol letovso dimlo kein yitfos kol asher lo v'lo nafik minei tein dan dine knasos. Because otherwise he's going to end up taking everything. He's going to end up taking all your stuff. Vim notzi hamoser v'nashir kedei nezek harei aron dan dine knasos. And what are we going to do? There's nothing we could do about it, because if he takes $1,000 from you, and really the knash should have only been $100, by us making him pay back $900, that's being Dan Dine Knasas in Bavel. And we're not allowed to be Dan Dine Knasas in Bavel. So it's a special Takanos Chachamim, says Rabbeinu Tam, that he's only allowed to take the Mazik itself. The Rush is not convinced by this at all. The Rush in the first paragraph of Masechet Bava Kamma says he doesn't even understand what Rabbeinu Tam is talking about. If he takes more than the Nezek, of course Bezin could be Motzi from him more than the Nezek. That's not called being Dan Dine Knasos. Whatever the damage was, he already collected by taking the first. First thing, whatever he took first. The rest is just Stam Gzela, so that's not called being Dan Dine. Why is that Dan Dine Knasas? That's just stealing, so of course we could take that away from him. The Rosh isn't really sure what Rabbeinu Tam was talking about over here. Okay, Hadron Lachel, now it's Hashem, we'll pick up the next card tomorrow after Unto Yeshiva.